Our scripture text today is taken from Exodus chapter 23, verse 20 to 33. However, I'll be only reading from verse 20 to 24 and 32 to 33. Behold, I send an angel before you to guide you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Our sermon today, I title it, The Blessings of Obedience. Here on the screen, you can see a picture representing my three girls, they are not my children, eating ice cream. From time to time, we reward them when they listened and follow our instructions. Look at their facial expressions. It shows how happy they are when they receive their reward. This is the blessing of obedience. I have 2 points for my sermon today. First is instruction to follow, and second is warning to heed. Our passage today talks about obedience to God. The verses we are looking at this morning conclude the initial giving of the law to the Israelites, which we heard over the previous Sunday. The Israelites have already vowed to accept the words of God and to be obedient on 2 separate occasions. First, it was after arriving at Mount Sinai. Moses went up and was given an initial set of words to instruct Israel. After receiving the word, he came back down and this was recorded. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." The second one is after that, the 10 commandments were thundered out in the hearing of the people. In their horror and dread, they told Moses, "You speak with us, and we will listen, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." Here the word listen in the Hebrew word is shama, means to obey and take action. It's not to just listen and do nothing. Here we can see that Israel was prepared to obey God. The theme of obedience runs through the Bible with the promise of blessings, and the opposite would result from disobedience. And so God sent an angel for the Israelite to obey. This leads us to the first point, instruction to follow. Allow me to read the verses again. "Behold, I send an angel before you to guide you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. As we all know, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt through Moses, who led them. God himself also accompanied the Israelites through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God also gave them specific instruction through Moses. When they follow the instructions given, they receive the blessings, such as their daily provision of bread and quail. However, when they disobeyed and gathered more than what was needed for a day, the food bred worm. Through the Israelites' journey to the Promised Land, the emphasis was always about obeying God, the one true God. Now we see a transition in verse 20. God sent an angel for the Israelite to follow. The command to obey remains the same. The command to obey remains the same. These angels represent God. As we can see in verse 21, for my name is in him. It was promised that this angel should guide them on the way and bring them into the place which God had prepared for them. And the instruction given to the Israelite is to pay careful attention to the angel and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him. That would mean listening carefully to any instruction given by the angel and not let any influence lead them into disobeying the word of God. They were also not to be rebellious towards him, because when they rebel against the angel, it is equivalent to them rebelling against God. If, however, they were rebellious and disobedient, a threatening promise was given. The angel would not pardon your transgressions, since my name is in him. However, should the Israelite obey the angel, the result would be that the Almighty God would be on their side and be an enemy to their enemies and an adversary to their adversaries. If anyone opposes the Israelites on the way to Canaan, God would fight for them and protect them. God has promised the Israelites blessings for their obedience. He promised to give daily provision and healing from sickness. He also promised to give protection and victory over their enemies. He also promised further land acquisitions, which will be ultimately fulfilled during the second coming of Christ. How does Israelite obeying the angel relate to us today? In parallelism, just like God who sent an angel to guard the Israelite and provided them the promise of land in the Old Testament, God has sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Jesus, who is journeying with us now, guiding and leading us until we reach our eternal home. God has commanded us to obey Jesus, as seen in Matthew 17, verse 5. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Obedience can be accomplished by faith given to us by God. What are some of Jesus' teaching that we have difficulty observing it? Is it keeping our Sabbath? Is it forgiving someone? Or is it to love our enemy? We are called to listen and obey God's commandment and Jesus' teaching. As we follow and obey, surely goodness and mercy will follow. But if we do not obey, there is a consequence or retribution following our disobedience. Allow me to share an experience that I had during my national service. I'm trained to follow instruction and not to defy against my commander as a soldier, which are both serious offenses. One important thing that I need to do as a soldier is to ensure my rifle is used for the right purpose. So as a Christian and obedient soldier, I tried my best in doing what is right to please my commander. During one of the night exercises, we were riding a boat to infiltrate the enemy territory. Not real enemy, simulated enemy. In the middle of the silent night with the tranquility of the sea, where my comrades and I were on the boat approaching the sea, we turned off the engine and we rowed the boat slowly onto the shore to avoid the enemy from detecting us. Suddenly, a gunshot went off. Take cover! Enemies! Nola, it was my itchy finger that has triggered the rifle accidentally. And for that, I had to serve my confinement duty over the weekend. Am I not able to go home? This may be a funny experience, but this is an example of what happens when we don't follow instruction and take warning seriously. Raising my children, I am reminded that obedience is not just for them to follow instruction, but to heed warning as well. God knows that the Israelites are stiff-necked and forgetful people. God gave them a stern warning. And that leads us to the second point, warning to heed. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do as they do. But you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. The warning given for the Israelites is for them not to bow down, not to serve, nor to worship the pagan gods. God wanted the Israelites not to have any relationship with the tribes, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as it can be a snare to them. How could it be a snare to the Israelites? Let me name some of the practices so that we would understand why God did not want the Israelites to have anything to do with the tribes who were ingrained in pagan worships. Pagan worship was intertwined with self-seeking and oppression. Idolatrous practices such as magic and divination. It also includes sexual perversion, incest, as well as child sacrifice. The Canaanite nation sacrificed their children, usually by fire, when they wanted to appeal to the gods for a favor, such as averting a calamity or giving them victory in a battle. Such manipulative pagan practices to fulfill human desires were in stark contrast with God's way. God is making clear that Israel is to have nothing to do with these Canaanite practices of self-seeking. Self-seeking is a toxic poison. That is why God told the Israelites to eliminate all these perverse nations so that Israel might not adopt their perverse ways. An example of how Israelites' relationship with those tribes compromise their whole devotion to God can be seen in a king's life, and that is King Solomon. He who had many pagan wives, which turned his heart away from God to other gods. How are all these translated to us in modern day? Who and what are our gods of today? These questions will be able to help us identify if we have any idols in our lives. Who are we serving? What? Where do I spend my time? Where do I spend my money? Where do I get my joy? And what is always on my mind? Here is a few of them. Our self-identity. Our identity might be one of the biggest idols worshipped today. We may not be aware that we have placed our identity in other things, whether it be our influence in social media with the hundreds and thousands of followers and a number of likes, our title and position at work, our ability or skills, our school grading and educational attainment, all the achievements we are after. Even as Christians, we may have abandoned who we are in Christ, and our identity is wrapped up in the wrong thing. If our identity is our work, our performance and skills, our looks, or anything else, we will constantly feel insecure because we don't measure up. But when our identity is anchored and secured in God, we can live in freedom and peace while we will still fall short. God's love will never fail us. The other one is money. Money is not about what we have. It's about what we long for and yearn for more. For the rich, the poor, and those in between, money can be an idol that quickly entraps us. Money is not bad, but God's word warns us, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. Money isn't the problem. It's how we use and view and value it that can become a problem. It becomes a problem when we place our hope and our trust in money instead of trusting in God. Many have placed their hopes and dreams in money, which proves to be volatile. During the pandemic, many have lost their job, investment, and even businesses. There are even some who have to downgrade, sell away their houses to sustain their daily living. This reminds us to trust God above money. For God is a great and faithful provider. I just shared two examples of modern day's idols. What are we supposed to do with these idols? In verse 24, it says that you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do as they do. But you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. Allow me to share with you a testimony of a lady who struggled with her idol. Caught up in a whirlwind of pursuing my fleshly desires, romance became an idol in my life. I found myself so deeply in love with love that I became unknowingly trapped in the pit of self-centered fantasy. This trap is subtle. We might even take some time before realizing that it has captured our hearts. I was in a fully committed, one-sided relationship with a guy for 7 years. It was a relationship that existed only in my head. Day and night, I would think of him, analyzing him, observing him, and rationalizing why it would work for us. Building air castles of what life would be like as a couple. Through those years, I gave myself every reason on to him, drawing signs and conclusions from thin air that we were meant to be. Even when I felt the Lord graciously nudging my heart to surrender this desire to him, I would constantly ask God if this was the man for me. But all I heard was, "Amanda, surrender your heart to me." But I could not do so. It was too difficult to surrender a part of my heart that I held so dear, and I did not want to let him go. This went on until the Lord whispered, thundered through my heart one rainy night, "He has become an idol in your life. Romance has become your God." My heart wrestled in futile disagreement. What? That's not possible. I prayed, I surrendered, and I committed my heart to you so many times. What do you mean that he is an idol? That romance is my God? But the Lord knew that I had not yielded my heart to him. As soon as I allowed the weight of his words to sink into my heart, I knew that he was right, that God was right. I had not intended for this, but I allowed my heart to be so obsessed with being in a relationship with a guy that the idolatry of romance ruled my heart. Romance became my God. Amanda realized her idol in her life. She struggled to surrender, but eventually she yielded to God. And that is how each of us should do with the idols in our lives. First and foremost, to recognize and acknowledge our idols and our sins of idolatry. Thank God for Jesus' death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And as much as we may be weak at times and can fall into snares of our enemy, we can still return to Jesus, who can forgive us of our sins. Let us take heart that there is no temptation that is beyond our abilities to overcome, as God, who is faithful, will provide the way out for us. And so we can pray and ask God to help us fully surrender and submission to him, be it our identity, be it money, be it addiction, be it our status, or even our results or performances. I would at this point strongly encourage us to have an accountability partner to check in on us from time to time. For us, we know that there is strength when we journey together to live our Christian lives in obedience. Allow me to quote Henry Evans, the author of the book Winning with Accountability. Here he said that an accountability partner should feel safe to challenge you when you are not keeping your commitments. This person, aside from our spouse, can be a friend of the same gender whom you can be open to share your struggles in life, where you will not be condemned, and at the same time to encourage you and to build you up. I personally have a few accountability partners or mentors who I feel safe to share with them my struggles in life. And every time when I go to them, they will remind me that you are not condemned in Christ. And that's why I can share openly And I encourage each one of us to do so. This year, our National Day celebration theme is Stronger Together, Majula. It is a call for all Singaporeans to forge ahead as a united nation and strong people towards a better future. Stronger Together remind us of our communities and families, friends coming together, forming the bedrock of our nation's strength and resilience, and enable us to overcome the challenges. Majula, which means onward, encapsulates our hopes and spirit as a nation since our independence 57 years ago. As for us in our church, we are stronger when we are together. May I strongly urge us to also journey as a community in Christ, moving forward together in obedience to worship God, follow His instruction, heed His warning, to serve Him and live a lifestyle that is pleasing unto Him. For the Psalmist told us this: blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience in Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor, blessings and prosperity will be yours. Let me leave us with these reflection points. Which area of my life which I need to grow in obedience to God? Are there any idols that I need to overthrow and break into pieces? And who can I ask to keep me accountable in my Christian walk? Let us individually go to God in prayer to reflect on this question, and I'll close us. Our God and Father, we give thanks, Lord, for your words, for your instruction that is given in the Bible, and for the warning that comes along with it. Forgive us at times when we are not obedient. And we give thanks to you too at the same time that when we sin, we can come back to you. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us. And that through faith in believing in Jesus Christ's work on the cross, we can also obey you because we are a new creation. So Father, help us to abandon, to overthrow and break the pillars of idols that may have already crept into our lives. Help us to wholly surrender to you, to live a life that you call us to. We pray and ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.